You'll open your Bibles to the book of Matthew this afternoon. We're so thankful for the invitation to come and preach. It's a blessing to be at this conference, as you all know and have experienced over the last couple of days. It's even a greater privilege to be asked to preach, humbling. I'm always thankful anytime I get the opportunity to preach. Makes you nervous. I'm nervous every Sunday. Thankful every Sunday when I stand in our own pulpit, but we're extremely honored and thankful when others invite us into their pulpit. It is a humbling thing for sure, and we're thankful to Brother Gordon for that invitation, the church as well, for the accommodations and everything that we have experienced, all the love of the church and of Brother Gordon. Thankful that we can call him our friend. Sometimes when men are young and they don't seem like they have friends of the older, not calling Brother Gordon old, but I'm thankful to call him my friend. Let me say that very, very seriously. It's a blessing to a young preacher to have friends like that, and we're thankful for him and thankful that we can call him our friend. And you take time to encourage a young preacher. That is a blessing when you take the time to do that. You'll never know the ramifications that has and the encouragement that is to him on his life. We're thankful for that. I want to take this opportunity to invite you to our Bible conference, June the 24th through 26th. It'll be on you before you know it. Make plans to attend. We pray that you will. Just a side note on that, we have found it very difficult to find motel rooms in our neck of the woods that week for some reason. We have found some, so the sooner the better. So let me know if you want the telephone number for the accommodations we found, or let us know and we will help you out with that the best we can. So keep that in mind already. We're looking forward to that. We've been through many conferences. This will be the first one as pastor. And I've learned some things. Learned some things from Brother Asbury and from Brother Gordon. I won't be getting on my roof this year before conference. Brother Asbury showed me, we've seen what happens then. We'll just leave whatever's in the gutter in the gutter. And we'll try our best not to get pneumonia, but I think the Lord is in control of that. So you pray for us, though, as that time comes upon us. And again, we are thankful to be with you all today. Look here with me in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13. We're also going to read here and then turn to Psalms chapter 139. Matthew 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now I find there in verse number 13 a very interesting question asked. And if you would consider that question with me this morning, this afternoon, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am, the Son of Man? Who do men say that I am?" And that question is still a valid question today. And I want to ask you that question today. What is your version of God? When you think about God, what do you think about? When you think about God, how do you think that He is? How do you think that He operates? What's your opinion and thinking of who God is? Now, when you ask men in the world today who God is, you get many different answers. As Brother Clark mentioned in his message yesterday, they don't want to believe in the God of the Bible. But instead, when this question that was posed to the disciples is posed to the men of the world today, they will say that perhaps he's the man upstairs. They'll say that perhaps that somebody that's out there somewhere is looking out for them in some way. They'll say he's the big guy or something of that nature. They'll present a God that is far removed from their lives. They'll present a God and believe in a God that isn't personal to them in any way. But is that the God of the Bible? Is that the God that we worship today? I think that it's not. When we think about God as just the man upstairs or the big guy, and we think about Him as far removed from our lives, we're not thinking about the God of the Bible. But the difficulty is that this thinking and this theology extends beyond the world and is in our churches and in the pew many times. we get to the place where we do not think about God in real personal terms. But I want you to know today that we serve a personal God.
Amen.
We serve a real personal God. And we're going to see that in just a minute in Psalms 139. But we see here, as he asks his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And the answer in verse 14 was, "Some say John the Baptist, some Jeremiah, some Elias, some one of the other prophets." But then he asks an even more pointed question and says, "But whom do ye say that I am?" The world is going to believe what it wants to believe. The world is going to have its theology of the man upstairs so that they do not feel responsible to God in any way. But that is not the God we serve today.
Amen.
We do not serve the big guy. We do not serve the man upstairs. We do not serve some person out there that is looking out for us. We serve God. Amen. We serve Jehovah. Amen. We serve the one that created all things, as Brother Cummins has preached already this morning. He answers in verse 16, Simon Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You're God, you're Christ, the Son of God. We have to think about God just as Simon Peter did. On a personal level. For all of Peter's difficulties and his shortcomings, Peter understood who God was. He understood that he was real and that he was personal. He understood that he was not, you know, just an abstract idea. You know, this begins at salvation. Salvation is a very personal experience.
Amen.
Salvation is a very personal experience with a personal God. It doesn't happen in a general way. God doesn't cast a wide net to the masses and bring them to Him all at once in a general way. But He personally works in the heart of a sinner, showing them their need of Christ and personally bringing them to Him in salvation. If during the course of this conference you have felt the working of God in your heart, it is God working personally in you.
Amen.
As if there's nobody else in the whole world today. God working personally within your heart, within your life. Think about that. Think about that with me this morning. When you think about this, let's turn to Psalm 139. Thinking about the personal God. How real is He to you today, Christian friend? Been saved many years, been a member of the Lord's church many years, maybe been called to preach many years. How real is He to you? How personal is God to you today? How well do you know God? When you think about knowing people, you know of people, you know about people. But then there are some people that you really know.
Amen.
You have a personal, close relationship with your wife, your family, some of your close friends and kindred acquaintances. You know them differently than you know everyone else. It's how we need to think about knowing God. Not just in a general way, but we need to know God in a very personal, real way. And He needs to affect our lives in a personal, real way every single day. How well do you know God? Not just in a list of do's and don'ts that you keep, a list of do's and don'ts that you think about, but daily as you walk through your life. How do you think about God? How is that real relationship with Him? One of the amazing things about God is that He is real and personal to each one of us, as if we are the only one that exists.
Amen.
I really believe that. I believe that each one of us can experience a relationship with God and His attention isn't divided among any others.
You're right.
As a father, sometimes my attention is divided. One needs it because, you know, they're not acting right, so I need to have my attention here while I'm not able to praise the one over here that's doing well, and we need to strive to do the best we can. But our attention gets divided. God is not so.
Amen.
We have the opportunity every single day when we wake up to have a real personal relationship with Him.
Amen.
Because we serve a personal God.
Amen.
We serve a personal God. And as Brother Keller preached yesterday, if you do not feel and see God in a real personal way this afternoon, you need to go back to where you lost it. I thought that was so good.
Amen.
And so fitting to our thoughts here, because when you get away from the thought that God is real and that He is there with you in your life every day working, He is there with you in the Spirit constraining and working in your life. When you get away from that thought, you get away from God. You get away from serving Him into a place where you are far removed from God. Now notice with me here in Psalm 139. When Brother Cummins said that this was going to be his text, I was extremely worried. But we're going to be, at least for most of the time, away from the thoughts that he brought here earlier this morning. Read with me the first six verses of Psalm 139, thinking about the personal nature of the personal God. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Here we find the psalmist in verse number 6 just blown away by how personal God is to him and how well God knows him. The first thing I want you to notice with us this afternoon is that no one knows us like God does. No one knows us like God does. Look at that in verse number 1. O Lord Jehovah, Thou hast searched me and known me. Known me. How are we worthy to be known of God? That He would even know my name. That He would even care. That He would even care about me in any way. But our God is personal. And He knows us better than we know ourselves. He has a perfect knowledge of each of His children. If you're saved here this afternoon, He has a perfect knowledge of you. We understand in verse number 2 and 3 here that He knows all about us. Every single thing that we do. It tells us that He is acquainted in verse number 3 with all my ways. David said, there's nothing that I can do, no situation I can find myself in, nothing can come to pass in my life that God does not know about. And let me tell you this afternoon, that can be both convicting and comforting. Can be convicting and comforting because God knows all about everything that transpires every day of our life. He knows us like we can never know ourselves. He knows us unlike anybody else on the face of the earth knows us. He knows our downsitting, our uprising. He understands our thoughts. You ever just get to the place where you think, man, nobody understands me. Nobody gets me. You've been there. We've all been there. I've been to that place before. Just nobody understands me. Nobody gets me. What does God say? Or what does David say here about God? He says, Thou understandest my thought afar off. Yeah. He understands us. Yeah. He gets us. He knows us. He has compassed our path. He's acquainted with our ways. And we see that there's nothing we cannot do. Our lives are an open book before Him. Nothing hidden. Nothing hidden. Nothing withheld. No matter how hard we try, there's nothing that we can sweep under the rug. There's nothing that we can hide from the view of God. We can hide it from each other. We can hide it from our pastor. We can hide it from our church. We can hide it from our family. But never think that you can ever hide anything from God. Amen. Can't do it. He knows us better than we know ourselves. How personal is that? You want to think about God in the abstract today? That's not the God that David reveals here in Psalms 139. You think about the big guy upstairs and you think about how the world thinks about God. Think about Him in the abstract. That's not the God that we're talking about here in these verses. We see how personal He is. Who else can know us like this? Job chapter 31 verse 4 says, Doth not He see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity or if my foot hath hasted to deceit. He knows it all. He knows it all. Everything that we do, every place that we go. And again, I'm not going to focus on one or the other, but that can be convicting and comforting. We immediately think about all the bad we've done. But what an awesome comfort that is to know that no matter where we go, that He knows all of our ways. Nobody knows us like God does. And then we see in verse number 4, it says, For there is not a word in my tongue, but Thou, O Lord, knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before. It's not just our actions, the places that we go, the things that we do, the places that our bodies take us. But He says here in verse 4 that God even knows us so well to know every word that we ever say. Amen. And we know there's Bible to back that up. Amen. We know that there is. We know that He is everywhere, in every place, beholding both the good and the evil. We know that He knows our thoughts. He knows our words even before we utter them. Personal just keeps getting more and more personal, doesn't it? You see, we live in a day and age where we try to build walls. We try to keep people out. We try to make so that people don't really know us, don't really understand us, don't really get too close. And so we think that that's how our relationship with God is. Not so. Our relationship isn't that way, no matter how bad you want it to be that way. You can't get to a place where you are impersonal as far as God not knowing you. I think you can get away from God and Him be a little impersonal to you, though. You can slip away and get to the place where you're not communing and talking with Him as you should. But nothing can be hidden from God. His action, our actions or our attitudes, the places we go, the things that we think, all of these things are known to God. He's more personal than I think we can even realize this morning, this afternoon. He knows us on the basis of His creation. He knows us because He has created us. He knows us because of the covenant, relationship we have with Him. And He knows us through Christ. We see that He is our God positionally. He is our God practically. And He is our God personally.
Amen.
And He knows us better than anything else. And again, that's convicting and comforting. Oh, that God would be more real today and more personal today than He has ever been to us before. We really need to understand that God knows us better than anyone else. So who knows us like God? Look here in Psalms 139, verse 1 again. Secondly, I want you to go back to this verse and I want you to see that no one searches us like God does. He knows us better than anyone else. He knows us better than we know ourselves. But He says here in verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Jehovah has searched me. He has known my inner thoughts. He has known those things that are deep down within that I'd never tell anybody. He knows those things that I've done that no one else knows about. He knows us like nobody else, and He also searches us like nobody else does. You know, our parents have a way, you know, when you're growing up, of searching you. I try that with my kids. I hope it works. But you try to search them out, and you try to just, you know, get to the bottom of what's, you know, they've done or what's happening, and you try to root out what's in there and try to instruct them in the right way to go and all these things. We see that God does that in our lives. He searches us. Again, we want a God that's abstract and removed. Well, we've got a God that searches the heart.
Amen.
He knows us.
Yes, sir.
He searches the heart, and that word search there means to penetrate. Means to penetrate. He penetrates the heart. No matter how fortified we want to make it. No matter how many defenses we want to put up. He penetrates the heart. And He searches us. We often don't like to think about the searching of God. We don't like that thought, do we? We don't like to think about God trying the reins and searching our heart. Look at the end of Psalm 139 to verse 23 here. Psalm 139 and verse 23, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." God knows us. He's personal to us, and He searches us. He desires that we would be right with Him. And He searches us, not to find out what's there, for He already knows. He knows what's there. He doesn't have to root around and turn over rocks and look in corners to see what we have hidden away in our hearts. He knows what's there. But He searches and He prods and He uncovers those things that we might know.
Amen.
That we might see, that we might get right with Him.
Amen,
because He desires us to be as close to Him.
Amen.
To commune with Him. To have a sweet fellowship and relationship with Him. We think about the searching of God from such a negative aspect. But when you think about the searching of God in the end, the results are so wonderful.
Amen.
Because in the end of the searching of God, you'll find yourself closer to Him than you've ever been before.
Amen.
That's the purpose of it. But again, we don't like that, do we? Again, it's not always pleasant, but He has His purposes in it. He does it to constrain us to do right. He does it to convict us of what is wrong in our heart. He does it so that we will confess those things that He has shown to us, that we might be cleansed and ultimately that we might commune together with Him. It's His purposes in searching, His purposes in trying the reins. And in verse 23, David cries out for Him to do just that. He says, "Search me. Search me and show me. Show me what's wrong. See if there be any wicked way in me. I want to know." That ought to be our attitude. That ought to be our attitude. God is personal. God knows what's there. So it doesn't do us any good to want to cover it up. Doesn't do us any good to want to keep it there, does it? He already knows about it. Our attitude, our desire ought to be that God would search us, no matter how unpleasant it is. Because as He searches us, it shows us what we need to fix, what we need to get right. Because at the end of the day, our ultimate desire ought to be as close to God as we possibly can be. But what happens? What happens? We lose it. What happens? We get away from God and we start thinking about Him in the abstract as a God who doesn't care, or a God who doesn't see, a God who can't take care of those things. And we think that it's all right if we just sweep under the rug a little bit, don't we? But God's more personal than that. Amen. He cares about us so much He won't let us get away with that.
That's right.
He does. He's personal to us, and I'm so glad that He is.
Amen.
There's so much to this thought about God being a personal God. As I said, when you have a relationship with someone else, there's only so deep that they can go. There's only so much that they can know. There's only so close that they can get. Husband and wife are probably closer than any other relationship you'll have in this life. But there is still a limit to how well we can know each other. But again, there is no limit to how deep the personal knowledge of God goes into our lives. It just keeps getting more personal as you think about it. David in Psalm 17 verse 3 said, "Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me." And notice his phrasing here. It says, "And shalt find nothing. And shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." We ought to desire the searchings of God. Desire it that we might be more acceptable to Him. And again, it doesn't get any more personal than that. It doesn't, knowing that God roots around in the heart, knowing that He does it for our own good and our own benefit, that we might be closer to Him, because that's what He desires. And it ought to just thrill your heart, and it ought to just humble you and bring you to your knees to know that the Almighty Creator of the universe desires my communion. He desires that because I'm His child. That's how personal our relationship is with God. Thirdly, I want you to see that not only does God know us like no other, He searches us like no other, but I want you to know that from Psalms 139 and verse 7 that He goes with us like no other. He's a personal God.
Amen.
He knows us. He searches us. Gets to the bottom of what's in our heart, that we might commune with Him, that we might know that which we need to fix and get right. But notice here in verse 7 through verse 13 that no one goes with us like He does. "Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." And praise God that He does.
Amen.
Praise God that He's a personal God that doesn't just leave us on our own and not care about what happens in our lives.
Amen.
He cares in that He searches us. He cares in that He knows. And He cares in that He goes with us every day of our lives, through thick and through thin, through mountain and valley, through shadow and through storm. He goes with us. How personal is that? How personal is your God today?
Amen.
How personal? How real is He to you? Do you know that He goes with you every step of the way? As He says there in verse 7, "Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit?" Where can we go that God is not? Where? You know, a lost person may one time ask you, where is God? They might ask you that question, where is God? And at first you might be overwhelmed by that question. You might think, I'm not a good enough theologian to answer that question. But the simple answer is by asking them, where is God not? Because He is everywhere. He is everywhere in that He fills the heavens and the earth. We know that He is everywhere, beholding both the good and the evil. But let me tell you this. He is with us in a special way. Because of that personal and real relationship we have with Him through our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes with us every day. Not in just that He sees what's going on, not in just the same way that the rest of creation experiences God, but He goes with us and that He works for us and He works to protect us each and every day of our life. We may not always see Him at work. There was a time in Job's life when he could not see God working. He said, I don't know where you're at. I can't see you, but I know that you're here because I can see you're working here and I can feel your presence here. And sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it's dark. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's lonely. But we have a personal God that goes with us through all of that. Praise God today that you have that personal God with you if you are believing and trusting in Jesus Christ for your salvation. He said, surely darkness will cover me. Surely the night will cover me and I'll be all alone. But what does verse number 11 say? Even the night shall be light about me.
Yeah.
Even in the night seasons. It's but light because He is with me. And I don't have to be afraid. He is with me because my personal and real God goes with me each day. Don't be afraid to claim that. Don't think that you're trivializing God by saying that He cares enough about you to go with you each day. Because that's exactly how personal and how real God is. You ever think that God does not care? Or you ever think that nobody else cares in the world? You ever think that you're all alone? And I would venture to say that in the congregation that we have together here today, that even in the midst of all of these people, there's at least one out there who feels all alone in whatever you're going through in your life. I don't know what it might be. Don't know what your situation is. But I'm sure there's someone out there that even in a crowded room may feel all alone. But know that even in times when you feel all alone, that like the Apostle Paul said, all men had forsaken me, but the Lord stood with me. The Lord was with me. Paul understood that he served a personal God. And we may be in a position where we feel all alone, but we have to know that He goes before us. He prepares us. He leads us. He sustains us. He delivers us. He communes with us. He preserves us each day. Why? Because He loves us. Because He's personal to us. Not just an abstract idea, but He's a real, real God that we serve each and every day of our lives. Sometimes I'm afraid to say that we worship and serve Him like He is unknown to us. See people that come into church and you can just tell that they're just there to go through the motions. They're there swinging that stick with no axe head at the end. Just going through the motions. They're serving God like they don't even know Him. Like He's unknown to them completely. Thinking that their mere presence at church would be enough to worship Him. But we have to have a real personal knowledge of Him to worship Him. We need to get back to this today. He is evidence to us personally every day of our lives. Look for it. See it in your life. What a wonderful thing. And then look with me here in Psalms 139. We see that no one goes with us like God does. But here also notice with me as Brother Cummins read in verse number 14. I want you to see that no one can create like God does. And I want you to see that God is personal in creation. God is personal in creation. Here in verse number 14, He says, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes, talking about God, did see my substance, yet being unperfect or incomplete. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in countenance or continuance was fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. He says, even before I came into existence, my members were written down.
Amen.
And God personally created me. See that in verse 16. God personally took those members and put them together and brought me into existence.
Yeah.
It's not an accident. Life does not just, come to pass in such a way that, it's a surprise. But God creates it.
Amen.
God creates life. We have some part in it, as God has designed, but it is He that grants life. It is He that creates it. He has left nothing to chance. He has left nothing to chance. But each one of us today, the self-existent great I Am formed us in our mother's wombs.
Amen.
You just think about that for a while. That's God personally working in creation. That's God personally creating you and me and each one here this afternoon. What a glorious thing. Nothing was left to chance. Nothing was left to evolution. God created everything as it pleased Him. And He looked on it and He said it was good. It was good and pleasing to Him. You know, if we can't believe in the Genesis account of creation that God personally created everything, then we don't have a leg to stand on as far as salvation is concerned.
You're right. Amen.
I mean, think about it. If we cannot believe that God was able to speak the world and everything into existence and take man and create him from the dust of the ground and take that rib out and make woman, if we can't believe that He creates life each time it comes forth from the womb, then how can we ever hope to believe 2 Corinthians 5:17? How can we believe when God says, all things are become new? How can we believe when He says, behold, I'll create your new creation? All things are become new. How can we believe that? How can we believe that God can create spiritual life if He can't create physical life?
Amen.
That's the importance. That's the importance of believing the Genesis account of creation as far as salvation is concerned. There are many other things that we won't stray into. But we don't need a priest. We don't need a system of ritual. We don't need any of those things to come unto God, because we have a real and personal Savior.
Amen.
We have a real and personal Savior that died for us on the cross of Calvary, shed His blood, and now we have access to the Almighty Creator of the universe anytime that we want.
Amen.
How personal is that? And knowing that as I leave this place and drive down the road, I can pray and I can have the ear of God as my personal, as my personal friend and my personal comforter, to ask for safety and to grant those things that I stand in need of. How great is that today? It's how personal God is. He works in our lives in these ways. So we see that God knows us. He searches us. We see He goes with us. We see God is personal in creation. And I want you to also see with us here in verse 17 in Psalm 139. I want you to see the personal providence of our personal God. Verse 17, He says, how precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me before ye bloody men, for they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Here we see the personal providence of a personal God in verse 17. Verse 17 just kind of makes me step back and just stand in awe. So it says, how precious are the thoughts, are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. The fact that the thoughts of God are upon me in my life, just an amazing thing. I'm just a wicked, old, depraved sinner who doesn't deserve any of the goodness of God, any of the blessings of God in a general way. And yet because of the sacrifice of His Son, the thoughts of God, the thoughts of God are upon me every day of my life.
Amen.
He says there in verse number 18, or excuse me, at the end of verse 17, how great is the sum of them? I can't even count the thoughts of God.
Amen.
You know, people tell us all the time, I've been thinking about you. You've came to my mind. I've prayed for you. And it's so comforting to know that the people of God are thinking about us, that they're praying for us. But how wonderful it is to know that we are on the mind of God.
Amen.
How personal He is. That's how much He loves us and cares for us. And in response to that, the condemning question is, how much is God on our mind? Brother Hamill mentioned Tuesday night, we need to be more heavenly minded. It starts with us understanding and experiencing God in a real and personal way. thinking about Him as we are bringing these thoughts out to you this afternoon. Because if we do not think on God, if we do not think on God, we will fall away from Him. We need to be more heavenly and godly minded. Jehovah, the Almighty Creator of the universe, thinks about us each day of our life. And as His thoughts are on us, that speaks of love and care. We see in verse 18, 19, 20 that God protects us from our enemies. He provides providentially for us in our lives every day. Why does God do that? That's the evidence of the personal working of God in our lives. Don't mark it up to coincidence or happenstance. Don't mark it up to, well, you know, I was just in the right place at the right time. But know that each time those things come to pass, it is the evidence of the working of God personally in your life. Him saying, this is what I'm going to do for you.
Amen.
This is what I'm going to do for you because I love you. God, in a very personal way, works in the circumstances of our lives to provide, protect, and deliver. So amazing to see that. So amazing.
Amen.
Just stand in awe. Stand in awe of it. And I hope that through these thoughts of Psalms 139, that you can see how personal and real God is. I hope you can see how personal and real He is, and that He isn't just the big guy or the man upstairs. He isn't abstract. He isn't obtuse. He isn't removed. But He's a real God that we serve today in a real way. You better see Him that way, or you're not going to worship Him properly. And as has been mentioned so many times over the course of the last couple days, there's going to come a time very soon when He is personally coming back for us.
Amen.
Personally, it says that Jesus Christ Himself shall appear.
Amen.
He Himself, in like manner, as He went from us, will come again to us, and we'll hear the shout, we'll hear the trumpet, we'll go up to be with Him forever in glory.
Yeah.
And we will be able to experience firsthand being personally in the presence of God, the feet of Christ. We get glimpses of it now. What an amazing thing that is going to be. We hope that you have a real personal relationship with God. You know, you can sit there and think about, well, I've been in church all my life. My parents have taken me to church since I was young. I still come to church all the time. I read my Bible. I do, you know, these things. Don't let any of that fool you into thinking that you have a personal relationship with God.
That's right.
The only way that you can have a personal relationship with God and for God to think on you in these ways that we have mentioned here this afternoon is to believe on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The shed blood of Christ is the only way that you can have a personal relationship with the personal God.
That's right.
And we pray that you will consider your need today. We'll pray that you will consider whether or not you have that personal relationship with Him. Don't think of it in such a way that you kid yourself because your works aren't good enough. As I said, we don't have a system of rituals and beliefs because it tells us that bodily exercise profiteth little. It doesn't do us any good if all we have is the flesh and the outward working. Turn to Christ. Believe on the shed blood that He spilled on Calvary's cross, knowing that He did it for you. If you can do that today, come to Him, Brother Dan.